crazy, cause I want you, baby. But you don't, so get out, get out, get out.
Hey! What's going on? Welcome to Date Fails. We are your hosts. I'm Stephen Kramer Glickman.
I'm Kate Quigley. God, you're loud and excited today.
I'm having a great day. I'm feeling good. I'm about to get my foot put into a cast.
Because, are you really?
Yeah, well, you know, when you break your foot, they say, stay off of it.
Yeah.
I did not do that.
I know. I was like, why the hell are you walking around on that thing? The day after he broke his foot, I go to pick him up at his house. He's supposed to be in a boot with crutches. He has no crutches. He's not using... He has crutches, but he's carrying them, not using them.
Yeah, I was carrying them...
And no boot.
I was carrying them like over my shoulder.
Like an accessory.
Like an old hobo.
Yeah, like you just wanted to look cool. Like I got these.
Look at my cool ass crutches I got.
Why?
Well, I flew to New York twice with a boot on my foot.
Yeah.
And then like did a stream con and I did this amazing, really fun show in New York and a bunch of other really cool stuff. And I got back and I went to the doctor and he was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's way worse.
Yeah. Because
it's so much worse now.
This was your perfect opportunity to get a Rascal scooter and ride that shit around.
I can't. I'm fat.
That would be even funnier.
When you're fat, you cannot have a Rascal scooter.
See, I think the opposite, because you would just make everyone laugh. Like little kids would laugh at you and old people. Everyone that saw you would smile and you'd make people's day.
I used a scooter one time at Ralph's. I like went through the grocery store in a scooter.
Why?
And I just couldn't. I felt so depressed by the time it was over. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. I'd rather just stay home. Like I can't. It's so sad.
I can't. Because
everyone looks at you. Everyone thinks it's a fat related incident. Like nobody looks at a fat guy with a broken foot. With a broken arm, maybe it's like a fight, you know, I got into a fight and broke my arm.
Yeah,
you know, I lifted something too heavy. But like when you're fat, like having a broken foot or a leg, they immediately think like you just, like gravity just caught up with you.
Well, you know Eric Griffin, our friend comedian from Workaholics, I was just working with him and he showed up at the Improv with a sprained ankle. And I was like, what happened? And he's like, I wish I had some great story. Like I got in a fight or some shit. But he's like, the truth is I just took a step. He's like, I stepped off a curb and that's it. He's like, when you're a big dude, sometimes that's how it happens. That was it. He literally just stepped off a curb, rolled his ankle so bad.
Oh, I fell one foot.
Yeah.
Like one whole
you
foot
fell down.
Off of the stage.
Yeah.
Well, at least I went face first.
Be real though. Did you use it for like some good sympathy sex or like, were you like, I can't hook up because my foot's broken, but you can give me head for a few weeks.
I got so many blowjobs.
I believe it.
It's been great. It's been great.
Good work.
Yay. Everybody wins. What about you, Kay? What's happening with you?
What's going on with me? Dating wise, it's a little slow right now. Although something interesting did happen, which is, I think I mentioned on here a few weeks ago, my ex started texting me, kind of, not my ex-husband, like an ex-boyfriend, started texting me kind of out of the blue, and I thought it was interesting, but we've been texting just kind of on like a friend level. He doesn't live here, so it's like, it's no big deal, but then the other night, he kind of like hinted that he wanted me to send him a naked photo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, why would I send you a photo? You've seen it before, and he was like, things change.
What?
I just said, yeah, you're right. I look way better now and I'm not sending you one.
That's awesome. That's how it should
be. That's what I told him.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. And then he didn't understand why, but I don't understand. Like, what's the point? You're not here. We're never going to hook up again.
Yeah.
Does that mean that he like still wants, what does that mean?
It's probably that he's like, was it nighttime?
No, it was. Well, where he was a little later, but it wasn't that late. It was maybe like 7.
He's probably just, you know, thinking, man, I wonder what that was. Well, man, I'm missing
those, that good.
Missing that good. Missing that titties. And he's just sitting around. I wonder what, hey, remember what those titties are? I can't remember. And I need some sort of like visual thing. And then he, you know, and then he asks you. And then if you were to send it, then he's like, oh, yeah.
I didn't. I feel good about that.
It was good.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You can't really do. I mean, that's a real tricky thing to go to. Let me ask you this. Is your ex-husband, does he ever write you?
We speak and talk and text, but it's like every few months.
Yeah.
And nothing ever. In fact, it's funny because we just talked the other day and I asked him if he's dating anyone. I've never asked him since we split up. It's been like 3 years.
Wow.
I've never asked him. I'm like, so are you seeing anyone? What's going on? And he was just like, I'm too busy. I really don't have time for relationships. I've been out on a few dates, whatever. So And then when he asked me, I'm just like, you know, busy. I mean, like, we still right. don't tell each other, which I think is so fascinating.
That's really interesting.
I don't know. I just like, I feel like he gets weird when I talk. I wish we could. Like, I would love to be the kind of friends that, like, I'm at a point with him where I would love to, like, call him for relationship advice on the new guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I don't think he's down for that.
It might be a little soon.
It's been three years.
How long were you guys together?
10.
You got like 2 more years.
You think?
Yeah, it's like half the amount of time that you were with somebody. Oh. I don't know. I think I don't. I have an ex girlfriend. It's very funny. We became friends on Facebook, and she was sending me direct messages through Facebook. She's married with a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, What do we do? I wrote her. I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're direct messaging.
Right.
I was like, we lived together. Like, this is crazy. We need to talk on the phone. Here is my phone number. Call me right now.
Yeah.
She calls me on the phone. Immediately, I regretted it. I was like, oh, God.
That's so
now
weird.
Now I have to talk to you? I fucking hate you. You're the worst.
But that's a good
I'm
thing.
I'm such a moron.
That's a good thing. No, because that happens with my ex. Like, listen, around this time of year, especially, there's this period of time where sometimes I'll start to be like, if I'm lonely or there's no guy I'm really into or I have a bad date, I start being like, maybe I should have just stayed with him. Like, it wasn't that bad, whatever. And then I'll call him and we'll talk on the phone for like 10 minutes. And by the end of that 10 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, I remember all the reasons we split up. Like, it all comes crashing back. So it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
So you should keep in touch with your exes to remind yourself of the bad.
Of how bad they are.
Yeah. How bad they suck.
I'm bed. With you on that. I'm
also
100% with
in
you.
Bed.
All right. Are you ready, Kate?
I was born ready, Glickman.
Yeah, me too. I was also born ready as well. This guy is absolutely hilarious. We know him, Kate, as a stand-up comic. We've seen him, like, you know, he's one of those guys.
I've seen him crush that shit.
Absolutely. The guy is hilarious.
He's hilarious.
And incredibly, incredibly funny. You also know him from the TV show Californication on Showtime. And he is a real big deal on this TV show Gotham on Fox. Mm-hmm. He plays a real scary character on the show, but he is an incredibly funny guy. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredibly funny Dustin Ybarra.
Dustin.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
how's it going?
You?
Dustin's the best.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
I'm so glad I ran into you. So I ran into him. We were watching football at the Haha on Sunday.
Were you in a bikini or not?
No, not this. That was a one time. You know,
I was.
He was. He looked amazing.
It was her first thing. Yeah, she was wearing a goofy, poofy hair. Wait, it was goofy.
Yeah, I was. I looked like him, actually. It was great. What team were you watching? Were you watching any certain team or are you just chilling?
No, I just go to chill and like, I'm the Cowboys, but I missed the game. So I just went there. Like,
were the Cowboys on?
I think so. Who cares anymore? It's so done with the Cowboys.
I don't know.
Yeah, but no, I was just there hanging out and stuff. I want to bring a Nintendo 64 and play GoldenEye over there. I was talking to Tony Baker about it, another comic.
Why don't they let you? That's a great idea.
Because they don't like nerds, you know? I'm nerding it up over there.
I'm
nerding it up.
Hey, let's turn off this football game and plug in some old school video games.
Yeah, I'd go and hang out at the Haha
if there were
that.
Video games.
Then they would get that crowd.
Dude,
and then they would hate us.
If they got like the dance games, like the Xbox Kinect where you can play the dance game, I would totally come for that.
You guys can't see this at home, but Kate just did a dance move. And it was incredible. Incredibly sexy.
You're welcome.
You wouldn't believe the dance move she just
played. I know.
We could destroy a business, couldn't we? Like, you know what? Screw this, Kurt. All these, like, what is this dance thing? Here, we need Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
We need this.
We need to turn the Haha into a video game arcade.
Yeah.
Stop doing stand-up there and just turn it into an arcade. That's
obviously,
what we need.
We
Everyone needs to cosplay, you know? The waiters need to be dressed as Zelda characters and
there
stuff.
There we go.
Dude, imagine how great a business like that would do, though.
Oh,
is there a place like that, like where the servers are cosplay people?
Just my living room.
Well, yeah, Glickman's house. But that's
just
he makes his girlfriend
house.
Dress up as Princess Leia every fucking day.
She's like, again.
Oh my God.
Medieval
times.
Sitting in the corner dressed up as Jabba the Hutt. Hey, what's been happening with you, man? Your life, things are changing and blowing up. Like, was Californication your first big gig?
I did We Bought a Zoo before that.
Oh my God, yeah.
But
course.
I get recognized more for Californication. It was
Cameron
like more
Crowe, man.
Yeah, I talked more and did more stuff.
I talked more.
Yeah.
That's always
Matt
good.
Damon wasn't hogging my screen time, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Holy shit. That was a huge, huge movie. That must have been a big deal.
That was the coolest moment. That was just awesome, man. It was the best time ever. It was great, man. Because I was a zookeeper, so I got to like do stuff and like.
Did you get to
like,
do I shit with animals?
And I got to do shit with animals.
Oh, like, that's cool.
What kind of animals did you get to work with?
A famous one, the monkey from The Hangover. The monkey from The Hangover was in that movie.
Oh my god!
Very well trained, jumped on me, and I think I got a picture somewhere.
Wow!
It's so funny how so like cool. In LA, like you meet so many famous people that you're like, fuck, working with David Duchovny. I got to work with the monkey from The Hangover. Like that's what's exciting.
That's so cool. Just as a quick question, the audition process for auditioning for that movie, what was it for you?
There was some sides, but like you had to improv a lot too. You had sides and you had to do the sides, but you also had a second scene where it was like, hey, you just saw Matt Damon fall into a bear pit or something and he got rescued. So now you got to tell him a similar story about that happening to you, but like, so that I said something about like an emu farm, how my uncle had an emu farm, and like I almost got attacked, so I kind of know what that was like. And
right,
is that true?
No, not at all.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But it was like Cameron Crowe was in the room and stuff, and it was just like, it's awesome. Oh, it's so cool.
That's amazing.
I'm like that football player, or the high school football player, like, oh, it's the best time of my life, man.
No, but that's awesome.
Did you do stand-up first, or was acting first? Like, what kind of...
No,
first?
I've always... I did stand-up since I was, like, 16, so I was, like, always doing stand-up.
16?
Yeah.
For real?
Oh yeah. At 16, I would do, like, coffee shops, because I couldn't get into the bars and stuff, so I'd do, like... But I would also go to Walmart and go up to people and be like, hey, can I try a joke for you and
Shut
do that
up.
Shit? No, I swear I did, yeah.
You just walked up to people at Walmart and said, can I tell you a joke?
Yeah, and it worked then because I was like the 16 cute chubby kid. Now it's like I'm a fucking cannibal on TV. You know?
That's hilarious. Like, you should Periscope that. That would be the funniest Periscope, to just walk up to people at Walmart and be like, can I tell you a joke, and just see how they react.
That'd be awesome. They probably would not talk to me now.
I mean, I don't know. I would talk to you because you're nice, but you do look like the kind of guy that might attack.
I know. I got to shave. You know, I've got two looks. I've either got the really nerdy computer guy,
yeah,
or I've got like the crazy cannibal guy.
Crazy guy.
One of the two.
Stonery guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got three. Never mind.
You got at least three or four.
Got range.
Because when you did Goldbergs, didn't you do Goldbergs too?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you did Goldbergs, you were like the stonery, like, cool.
Yeah, I was the college guy. Yeah,
it was hilarious.
Oh, that was a blast, man. I love working. I was on that show just recently on the Halloween episode.
Oh, nice.
But I was the werewolf, so you can't even tell it's me. I was like in prosthetics all day and shit.
That's fun, though.
Oh, it was so much fun.
And then did you go out after and just leave that shit on, and that was your costume for Halloween?
Oh, man, I wish. And there was like a week in between, and I was like, man, can I do this? Is it worth it, you know?
That's hilarious.
But you couldn't eat in it. I remember I was like, oh, this sucks.
All day? You couldn't eat?
Like, you could, but you had to be careful about it. And I don't like eating carefully. I like to just like, get crazy. But
you know, one time I had to get body painted for an event, and I couldn't pee all day because they put tape over your... you know, lady parts to paint you. Yeah. And then if you take the tape off, they got to like put new tape on and repaint you every time. So, but they didn't tell me. So I didn't really pee. You know, I peed like, but I didn't pee. Like I knew I wasn't going to pee all day. And then the whole night I was like drinking cocktails. And then it got to the point where I had to pee. And they were like, yo, you can't really, if you pee, we have to do a lot of work to fix you. So I had to hold that shit all night.
That's not fair.
No. I know.
They do that to race horses to make them go faster, right?
That's exactly why they did it to me, to make me work a little quicker.
Make you go faster.
Oh, that's crazy. Where
was that job, Kate?
It was actually like some premiere party for the Great Gatsby movie.
Better not have got that off Craigslist or some shit. You know? Come on. I got some scotch tape. Put this on your U-Haul.
You know, some guy was filming a pilot of something. I don't even remember. This is a couple years ago. And he needed like a host, like an on-camera host. And they wanted me body painted. So that was
At the Playboy Mansion, there's been a couple times where I've been there where like they have girls in body paint
it's
walking
so
around.
Cool.
It's really cool.
You don't feel naked because you feel it looks like a bodysuit, kind of like what's her name, Rebecca Romijn in X-Men, how she's painted. Yeah. Like it looks like that. So you don't feel naked. And it got to the point where I seriously was like, can you just take the tape off and paint my vagina so I can just pee all night?
Wow. Yeah, because
I've
seen that.
They were like, no. we're not
going in there. That's a danger zone.
That's a danger zone.
That's no fly zone right there. Anyway.
What's your dating life been like as far as, you know, from, being an actor that's, you know, recognizable on, like, people see you, they know you from a show. Like, do you feel like you date more because of acting, or is it mostly from stand-up that you meet?
I squandered all my cool acting powers for a girlfriend.
I was gonna say he has a girlfriend.
How long have you guys been together?
Like a year and a half.
She's cool as fuck. Right?
She's cool. Yeah.
Where did you guys meet?
We met at a comedy club.
Okay.
Was she in the audience?
Yes.
Tell how you met. I'm always curious how comics meet audience girls.
We just met us.
After the show on the patio, what happened?
What comedy club?
Like before the show, I talked, but then after the show, I talked, and it was haha.
Oh, you met her at the haha.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it sparked and hit it off, and bam, here we are now.
So
yeah, I met my girlfriend. The first time my girlfriend ever saw me was I was on stage here at the Improv. And she was in the audience and she watched my set and she liked two jokes.
Ooh.
That was it.
That's good.
And then she said to me afterwards, she's like, I like these two jokes. The rest of it's, you know, whatever.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm in love with you.
But she still dated you. Though.
We've been for almost 4 years.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I was freaking out because I talked to her before and I was like, oh, fuck. Now I better have a good set now because if I don't, it's like, oh, she's going to be like, oh, whatever, guy. So I was like,
no, man, this is the key, though, to like, you know how guys neg chicks, how guys like give you the compliment, but then like the backhanded insult kind of?
Mm-hmm.
Girls have to do that. We have to do that to guys like you that have like some good shit going on. Like, if you're super, super funny, we know that every girl is like, oh my God, you're so funny. So instead, we have to be like, you're cool, whatever. I don't really care about comedy. What else are you good at? Like, we have to do that to bring you down because otherwise it sets the bar like you think we're like fangirls.
Oh, I could see that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'm too self-conscious. I'm like, whatever, fuck you then. I'm funny.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
I'm going to go hook up with this drunk chick that thinks I'm funny.
Do you like when your girlfriend, do you ever run like joke ideas by your girlfriend?
All the time. Anyone I'm with, people hate me.
No.
People won't hang out with me. Yeah.
No one wants to hang out with you because all you do is tell jokes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Especially when I first started back in the day, I had this locksmith's job and I would go with my brother to just unlock cars and I was just in a van with him and one day he was just like, man, I can tell whenever you're trying to tell me a joke because I wouldn't tell him. I would just be like, hey man, have you ever noticed how like these cars, these little cars and like big cars.
Well, probably
what's doing.
There's like no segue. Like 1 minute you're like, man, check out that ass on that chick. And then the next minute you're like, have you ever noticed the speedometer on a Volkswagen? Like you just like randomly go into something.
And I space out all the time. Like whenever I'm thinking of a joke, whenever it pops in my head, I like everything has to stop and I'll have to be like, oh, hang on. What's going on here? Let me formulate this shit.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend will be talking and I'll be ignoring her. And she's like, oh my God, you don't even care. And I'm like, oh no, I do. But I had some genius. And then she's like, what was it? And I was like, oh, this dick joke. Check it out.
So profound.
Notice whenever you get a boner.
So horrible.
So funny. I use my tweet draft folder for that. Like if I'm out with someone, I come up with a great joke idea. I stick it in my tweet draft folder and then I save it for later. Yeah, you should do that.
Oh, my tweet drafts are full of like semi-racist stuff. That
You're like, can I tweet this?
Yeah, stuff that I was like, I don't know about this or like not funny.
Usually if my girlfriend gets pissed off at something I do, that's usually a really good bit. That's usually where the bit comes from. Like if I say something to her, like for example, like we were in bed and we were cuddling, and I said, "Hey, anybody ever give you a cocoa butt? Everybody ever do that?" And she goes, "I don't know what that is." And I go, "You never had a cocoa butt before?" And she goes, "No. What is that?" And I go, "Oh, it's this." And then I headbutted her with my head. But she was like
in her butt?
No, on her head. Like head to head, like, you know, like knocked her in the head, like very gently, very gently. And she was like, "What the fuck is the matter
yeah,
with you?
What's the matter?"
I was like, "Is that funny? It's a joke.
Why?
It's just a funny joke." And she was like, "You are the worst person. Like, what's the matter? Why the fuck do you?
That's
why
so
you
just
yeah? Who
me?
Does that?
I, it was very
what
light.
What is
it was
wrong
a very
with
light.
You?
She's gorgeous, by the way. And I just awkwardly headbutted her.
Was this but, in you know, an elevator?
No.
It's okay. Such a miracle that she hasn't left.
Oh my god! It's a miracle she hasn't left me. It's ridiculous.
Back to Dustin and his girlfriend. Oh, what's the last thing your girlfriend got pissed off at you for?
I fucking punched her in the face.
No. Damn, son.
Bitches be tripping.
The best possible punchline ever to my horrific story.
You're hilarious.
Oh man, you're so great.
Last That's thing, no, she got. I don't know. You stand up. I've been going on. I haven't been. Let's see. Over the summer, I was on the road a lot.
Yeah.
So I was gone, and she didn't like that just because it was. Like, oh. Yeah. And I understand that because you're gone. I didn't like. It's like, eh,
it's hard,
girlfriend,
right?
So, yeah.
How? What do you do? I'm curious. Okay, when you're long distance like that and you're traveling a lot, do you guys like how much contact do you have? Do you like text all day? Do you chat? What do you do?
Depends on where I'm at. Depends on like how needy I am, right? Then like
how needy you are.
Yeah, if I'm like in Dallas and I'm like, oh man, I got friends here, then I'll be like, okay, I won't text her for a bit. It's kind of chitty. I'm sorry, but then like if I'm like in the middle of nowhere, you know, Kansas or something, we'll talk like a lot because I'll be like, baby, I need you. I need you. You're the only thing in my life right now.
Oh my God.
Well, whenever I go to San Diego to like visit my family, I have to like, you know. I'm not going to text as much because I'm around lots of people and, you know, or I'm not going to be on the phone as much.
But he's like alone in a hotel room.
Yeah, no, it's some, you know, when you're alone, you know, whenever my girl goes out of town, like I'm just like, like I'll text her all day.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And joke around with her and send her funny pictures of our dog with a hat on or something. You know.
Yeah.
Dustin, how old are you?
I am 29.
Because are you into the Snapchat thing? Do you Snapchat each other?
No, no.
You guys?
I need to get into it. We're talking about that before, but yeah. No,
You're not so much? Because I was just talking to a guy who's like younger, and he's like all day long, like, Snapchat me. And I'm just like, why can't I just text you a photo? Why does it need to be a Snapchatted? What is the deal with Snapchat?
How confident that guy. Yeah, it's like Snapchat.
Oh, God. He's really into the app. So like, he's like more
he's into the
app.
That's
than
what
he
I'm
is
saying.
Into the communication.
He's not like send me a photo. He's like Snapchat me. Why don't you Snapchat me? I'm like, is this code for naked? Because I'll just text it to you.
Oh,
like, I don't understand.
Maybe it's because it only lasts for so long that it's more exciting.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think guys like Snapchat better. I have a theory because they know we can't fuck with the photos. You can't like retouch it. You can't like change anything. You can't add makeup or remove blemishes. So they see what you really look like. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah. I know it's like a naked place. Like if I want to look at
it's
naked.
A naked place.
Like, isn't it a naked place?
It's a little bit of a naked place.
Okay.
I think that's what it was intended for originally. But are there still naked photos on there? I feel like we should bring in our second guest.
We keep asking.
I
feel like our second guest is going to know more about what's happening on the Snapchat.
Yeah, and she really does know because she is a social media phenomenon, okay?
And so hot. I was like, Glickman,
so
we can't take photos where I stand next to her.
I know. She's so pretty. I'm having trouble looking at her. From the big podcast, Anything Goes, with Jessa Hinton. Ladies and gentlemen, Jessa Hinton!
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Jessa.
Also, you're a Playboy Playmate, correct?
That I am.
Weren't you Miss something? You were, right?
Yeah, Miss July 2011.
Look
back in the day.
You look so great. I like you as a redhead because I looked at your photos online. You're mostly blonde in your photos.
Correct. I did this about 2 months ago. And basically what happened was I kind of stepped away from Playboy and everybody was still trying to give me Playboy jobs, lingerie jobs. But I do a lot of travel and food blogging. So it's kind of like, can't really do that. So once I started doing more red photo shoots and more beauty shit, I can say that, yeah?
Yeah,
shit.
Sure. Okay, say whatever you want. Yeah.
You can say all the words.
Okay. I will say all the words.
Say all the words.
The job started becoming more, I guess, serious, and I wasn't really associated with Playboy anymore. So people know me still from that a little bit, but I have people still texting me or still on Instagram saying, I didn't know you did Playboy. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, it's okay. It's part of the credit, you know, one of the resume credits. No,
of
it's
course.
Fine.
You know, something like that, too, is that, like, it's... Look, my career started at Nickelodeon. You know, like
I thought you were going to say Playboy.
He was a centerfold girl magazine.
I can see that.
But like wherever your career starts or you have a beginning from, it's always going to be some part of your life. It's in the background, and it's like a basis for people to go, oh, that's where it started. But look where they are, and look what they've created, and look who what they do now. It's completely, completely different. But it's not a bad starting point.
It's not a bad basis. Well, what was weird is it wasn't really a starting point. I actually was one of the older playmates. So they found me when I was 27, which in Playboy years, you're a fucking grandma.
Yeah.
So, and also that is I had my son. So it was not only was an older playmate when they tested me, but I also was a mom. And so coming out with my centerfold, I got a lot of criticism for having my son, a lot of creepy guy fans. And so as I get older, I'm doing a lot more mommy son blogging. So that's again another reason why.
100%. Totally.
So it's definitely a part of who I am. And I've met a lot of great contacts and I kind of found myself through that. But at the same time, it is you grow as a person. And with that lifestyle, I never really even the parties, I've never been to a Playboy party. So I've never seen the painted girls or anything like that. I just kind of did my centerfold and I just took it and did a lot more. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing.
Smart. I think that's probably really smart. Yeah.
So going back to Snapchat, let me help you guys.
Yes, please.
Educate us on this.
So Snapchat actually, it was back in the day when Snapchat first happened. It was for the goofy pictures and for the sexy pictures that would be deleted after 24 hours. That being said, now Snapchat, the demographic is 13 to 17, which is the most influenced age range. So they're really cracking down. If you post a nipple picture, anything like that, your account won't be deleted like that.
No way.
Even if it's a dude nipple?
No, it's not. Okay. No, that's fine. I know it's sexist. I get it. It's
Dustin,
sexist.
Put your clothes on.
Why did you take your shirt off? You took your shirt off so fast.
I know.
You look great in this town, bro.
It's like Jessica starts talking, Dustin gets naked. I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
And we only have water. Could you imagine what it'd be like with wine or cocktails?
It'd be better. It would be better.
So I don't understand, though, the guys asking. That's stupid. If a guy's like, hey, snap me. I actually had a guy friend that was like, hey, snap me a picture. I'm like, you're an idiot. What do you mean snap you? I don't understand why,
because you have to go on the app, then you have to hit download, then you have to view it, then you can only see it for 5 seconds. It's like if they wrote something, you don't even have time to read it.
I just don't get it. Snapchat for me, I was telling them before, I have more followers on Instagram than I do Snap, but when people come up to me, whether I'm walking in the street or I'm doing an appearance, people come up to me like, I follow your Snapchat, you're so fucking funny. Not one person says they follow my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. It's always Snapchat, because you really get to show your personality. So if you're a pretty girl on Snapchat, this is what nobody can see at home, but this is what girls do all day, every day on Snapchat. Videos.
That's it?
Going to the market, and I don't know what to buy. So that's, if you're a model, that's what your Snapchat looks like. My Snapchat is, I don't really make fun of people, but like if I'm out and I see somebody at Starbucks and they're dressed like a fucking idiot, I'll like snap them and put outfit of the day. Or like, again, I just got a facial this morning. I'll wear no makeup and I'll just go on rants about like mom shit or about like models in the industry. And so it's me just being me.
That's
why I do well on Snapchat, because everybody else is doing the same shit. And me, that's my outlet. Not only do I have my podcast, but Snapchat's like, if I feel something, like you have your Twitter drafts.
Yeah.
If I feel something or if I want to rant, Snapchat's my best friend.
Wow.
That's a good idea.
It like goes away too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Because I would be just looking at it like, oh, I need to edit this. But that's cool because it's just off the cuff. It's like in the moment.
And you'll see, if you really care, if you have some downtime, it's great interaction with your fans. Because on Instagram, if people posted like, some guy said, why are you still modeling? You're old as fuck, or something like that.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So Instagram.
I get the same shit.
Viners, too. I have a lot of friends that are on Vine, and they said that they have like death threats from these little baby Viners. But Snapchat, you have people that like hold up like signs that say, I love you, Jessa, or like, oh my God, that bit that you just did about, you know, so-and-so was so great. So those people are way more, they're following you every single day rather than just scrolling or hating. It's like they have to go on their phone and click on your story, and those people care about what you have to say. Nobody's there to hate on you.
Wait a second. Do you mean like, because I get a lot of snap messages from people that follow me, but I don't really open them because half of them are dicks when I open them and I don't want to see that.
I told the guys that if they send me dick pictures, I'm going to screenshot them and out them so everybody can send them.
Hilarious.
I've done that before. So when I did Playboy, one of the main reasons too I stepped away was I was getting a lot of how much for a dinner, no sex obligation, how much for this. So what I did is one day I kind of felt in a pissy mood. I went and I screenshotted every email of guys offering me money and I posted it on every social media, and all of my fans were calling the phone numbers, emailing them back, calling them pieces of shit. So those guys actually contacted Instagram, and Instagram had to take it down because it was nonstop. Like, why would you offer her money? Blah, 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 blah. You can't find a date on your own. So Snapchat, I had maybe two dick pics, and I go on there and I'm like, anybody else want to send me their little peckers? I'm going to tell everybody that you have a small pecker, and all my fans need to reach out to you and talk shit to you. So nobody really sends me dick pics anymore.
That's genius.
Wow.
You just really
idea.
Inspired me. Because that's why I really like Periscope, because I feel the reason that people love Periscope so much is because they see your real personality. There's no filter. It's just you in the moment.
I did Periscope in Walmart, like you were talking about.
I do that too.
Oh my God. I had fans that were like, hey, do this. So one of them was, I had to go in somebody's cart and take something out. And so they were a redheaded family. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that soda, where did you find it? And she goes, oh, it's right here. And I look, I'm like, okay, but I want this flavor. She goes, oh, okay. And so she let me have it.
Hilarious.
Everyone was dying because I have no problem going up to people and fucking with them.
Oh my God. You and I should Periscope together. I do the same shit.
Just, and I have like, you tell me what to do and I'm going to follow
through
with
it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We had a thing happen today. Do you know, I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, but do you guys know a comedian named Scout Durwood?
Yeah.
Do you know her? Mm-hmm. So she posted this today, that someone sent her this message. We have 100, this is most comics are friends with this guy, 132 mutual friends with the stand-up comic who sent her message.
Oh, this guy? Okay, can I read this out loud?
Yeah, please.
It says, yo, bitch, you got a soft pussy. This is from a guy named Anthony Bublitz, and I will go on record to say I have blocked him on my Facebook. I know so many female comics who have blocked him because all he does is go on, I don't know if he does this to men, but he goes on female comedians' Facebooks and he leaves these kind of comments, sends these kind of messages.
Horrendous.
He's like a horrendously scary.
What a piece of shit.
And he's like almost scary because when I first like messaged him back and was like, why are you acting like this? He would leave really rude things on my wall. And he got so angry and aggressive with me that I blocked him. And then I messaged a bunch of my girlfriends, was like, block this asshole. This guy should not be allowed on Facebook.
No, I know. And there's hundreds of comments.
She posted it.
Yeah, she posted it, and good for her for doing it, because there are hundreds of people who have been writing, you know, what he's the biggest piece of shit in the whole world, and you know, this guy's been doing this to lots of women. He has a whole history of doing this.
Who is he though? He's not even a comedian. How is he friends with all these comics? Like, who is he?
I don't know.
There's dudes that just add him on there. There's like these comedy fan people, but some of them are dicks.
Right.
They come from like really dicky places.
The whole like going after female comics and saying fucked up shit to them, or saying, you know, sending, you know, and women in general, and like sending like it's so great that women are taking pictures of their stuff and reposting stuff like this, because it really stops like guys from wanting to do it, and I think it outs guys who are huge pieces of shit.
What kind of bothers me, and like, I mean, this is not taking like a little bit of a serious turn, but like, I'm sure you probably do this too, Jessa. Like, I post sometimes sexy photos, and then I will get people who make disgusting comments. And it's one thing to be like, you're so beautiful, you're so sexy. That's great. That's fine. That's sweet. But if you make disgusting comments every once in a while, like you, I'll have a day, it's usually when I'm PMSing, where I'm like agitated by it, and I will say something, and then I'll have guys who will attack me and be like, well, if you post those kind of photos, what do you expect? Or like when guys send me dick pics, people will be like, well, what do you expect? You post those kind of photos. It's like, just because a girl posts a sexy photo doesn't give a guy the right. To me, it's almost like a form of assault. If a guy comes up to you in the street and shows you his dick, that's technically illegal, right?
Yeah,
but if a guy just messages you a photo of his dick without you asking for it, there's nothing to stop that.
What if he handed you a Polaroid of his dick? You know, that's an in-between
that's
area
a gray
no
zone.
One talks about.
It's a gray
both
zone.
Have done that. I mean, yeah. That's not a
you
big
get that
deal.
Vanilla envelope.
Okay, look, if he gave me a Polaroid, I would
It's in a manila envelope, and it has on the back. It has our show dates for our next show.
I think also girls too. Girls will say that to me, like, "Oh, well, what do you expect? You know, if I go on tangents, what do you expect when you post that?" I'm like, "I posted a picture of me eating a Carl's Jr. burger, and you're saying because I had a V-neck on that I'm like." You know, provoking people to be like, oh, I want to, and it's aggressive. Some of the stuff I get because of the Playboy fans like, I want to do this, this, and this. And if you look at their profile picture, it's them holding their daughter or them with their girlfriend. I'm like, I have no problem sending this to your wife or to your mother or to whoever. And it's a lot of teens like, oh, I had this little kid send me a DM of his face. He goes, what that pussy do? And I'm like, and right under it, he goes, can I take you out? And I said, I responded back. I'm like, can you finish your homework? And then let me talk to your mother. Like, he looked maybe 11, 12 years old. And that like terrifies me because my son's 7. It's like, I would beat that ass. Like if he ever like even talked like a little bit like that, no, like he would be grounded in like no mouth. Like I would sew that shit shut.
I love that you're a mom. She's got to be like the hottest mom I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
Right?
Completely. About all that.
So are you single?
No. Okay. So I'm actually having a little bit of a boyfriend issue, and this is probably my own fault.
Well, we can help you with that. We're experts.
Yeah, we're experts.
I mean, the sentence I'm going to say is like enough said. So I'm 31 and my boyfriend's 22.
Okay, we can work with that.
But
what does he do? Come on, wait, give us more. How grown up is he?
He's a personal trainer.
Okay.
Oh, that's a big kid job.
Yeah. but again, I met him through a mutual friend, and I'm going to show you a picture. I met him through a mutual friend, and he does not look 22, nor did I know that he was 22 when we first met. But he is from Iran.
Okay, that's hot. I like
that
Middle Eastern dick. Know what I'm saying?
And again, I'm just gonna show Kate because she's gonna be like, okay, I get it.
Oh damn!
Yeah,
he fine, girl. He fine.
Oh, wow, that's a very handsome man.
Well, of course. I mean, it's not like she's gonna date some troll. I mean, look at her.
I actually, you know, what's funny is we just did the podcast here, the first one we did Anything Goes with Jessa Hinton last week, and I had my ex-boyfriend on the podcast, and he actually is trying to do stand-up comedy in L.A., and his mom was a famous female comedian, and so he's done improv, went to Second City, Groundlings, like he's actually like in the scene, and I had him on here, and my boyfriend showed up, which he wasn't like invited. He just came, I guess, to mark territory because my ex was here. And my boyfriend was like, I don't understand why you dated like this guy. He's just a normal guy. And it's like, nothing drops panties faster than a funny guy. Like,
that's
nothing.
True.
And so I was with him. I'm telling you.
That's so hot. That's
100%.
So mm-hmm. Yeah.
100% true.
If I didn't start stand-up, I think I'd be a virgin still.
For real?
I think I've been laid once, not off stand-up.
Are you serious?
No.
How many times have you hooked up just from stand-up? Like, you do a spot, you come off stage, and someone in the audience wants to hook up.
Not that much. No, hardly ever. And I don't. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 times. I've had it a couple times.
You've had it a couple times?
It's been a couple times.
It's so different for women.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like they maybe had a couple cocktails and they felt like the urge to come up and talk to you guys. But for us, yeah. I actually don't like when guys hit on me. I have to be the aggressor. I have to be the one to hit on them. Like I hit on him. I've hit on my ex. Like I don't like the approach because I feel like it's so easy for us to make the move. When guys do it, they're so awkward. And it's like you lost your shot the first second you open your mouth. Yeah. Like it's done. It's
Stay cool. Yeah.
But if we came and watched you on stage, it would be a whole different story.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. Yeah. Cause how do I approach and be like, oh, so here's my story.
Hey, guess what? I'm funny. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Watch me juggle.
That's a hard pitch. That's why like a lot of, you know, like my cousin who grew up here in town was like he's like a pretty handsome fella. And he would say to me like, hey man, let's go to like some dance nightclub and like go and hang out. That's what I used to do back in the 90s. Isn't that a fun thing to do? I mean, like, not really. Like, that's not where, like, that I would never feel comfortable. Like, comics always feel so much more comfortable in you know, a comedy club, mm-hmm, because right. then, yeah. you know, we're in the position that, like, if someone is interested in us, then they come up and they talk to us, as opposed to, like, I mean, how is a comic even supposed to, like, a male comic? We can't pick up women.
Gonna be all sweaty up in there.
Oh my God. Those places are so uncomfortable. I never know where to do.
And he just asked me too. He goes, hey, you want to go to Hyde? I'm like, no. Like, why do I want to do that? I'm like, oh, wait, you're 22.
Yeah.
I get it.
I went there once and I felt so stupid, dude.
It's retarded.
I did this pilot with John Leguizamo and he somehow got invited to like this Nas after party thing.
The rapper?
Yeah, the rapper.
Okay.
So they were there and dude, this was the most uncool I've ever fucking felt in my entire life.
Is it because you're with John Leguizamo?
That was very good. I'm pumping you on that. That was very nice.
Oh, it was bad. I was wearing.
But you know what's worse than dating a 22-year-old who's obsessed with nightclubs is dating a 32-year-old who's obsessed with nightclubs. Because I was just talking to a guy, and it's like every time I'd be like, "Let's go get a drink tonight." He'd be like, "Yeah, meet me out at Lore. Yeah, meet me out at Hyde." And I'm like, "Just ugh, disgusting." Like, who over the age of 30 wants to go to a dance club? That sounds fucking
awful. Not this one.
I don't even understand it. Like, I don't understand. I mean, isn't it basically to get fucked up and hook up? Isn't that the whole point?
Yes, no. In LA, it's to network.
Oh my God. Yes.
All the girls get super fancy and they want to go network. I'm like, you can go network.
You know
that.
The best story about that? I went out.
Network these balls. Yes.
I went out one night with this guy and he took me, I can't remember where it was, but he took me to some really upscale place in Beverly Hills and there was a wait, but we go up to the front and he's like, are there any tables open that there's no wait? And she goes, well, yeah, we have like 3 tables open in the back, but you won't be seen. You won't be seen.
Oh my God.
And, but even still, are there any tables? Are you spending money on a table right. at a club in LA when you live here and this is what you're gonna, like, I can't believe it. Like, you're buying $500 bottles of Goose when at Ralph they're like on sale for $11.99 with my club card. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, why waste your money? Maybe you just have like money that you could just for
you know what, if you
spend,
have,
but
if you have the money to like to do it, get into like what's the club that's on above BOA, the
Oh, you have to be a member or some shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Soho House. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. That's different.
But if a guy said, like, I'm a member at Soho House, I'd be like, kiss my ass.
Yeah, I'm like, that's so grossed out.
Yeah, I can get you in.
I agree. It's like, oh, my God.
My Lord. I just like guys that want to go hang out at, like, a dive bar and, like, shoot pool. That's, like, the perfect guy for me. Like, I don't like fancy stuff.
Or laser tag, go-karting.
Yes,
like,
yes,
that shit's like
that's
cool.
That's fun.
That's like the, you know what I was.
Did you just say laser tag? Yeah. That's a real thing that just happened.
Yeah, it's on Ventura Boulevard. Yeah,
listen,
laser tag.
That's fun.
I would do anything to see you play laser tag. That'd be the greatest
thing. Oh, me and my son
thing.
Are champions at laser tag.
We should do an event.
And you know what's funny is these kids.
A laser
like,
tag event?
I don't think that the kids that go there, their parents love them because these kids are like fucking snipers. So it's like their parents drop them off at like 3 p.m. and pick them up at 11 and they're aggressive. They're mean. Like, my son's not the most athletic, but we have a good time. We play. And these kids are like hiding and they're crawling. They're like, gotcha. I'm like, I'm going to fucking rabbit punch a little 7-year-old right now. Like, they're like mean with it. So when we go as a whole, we get everybody on the blue team because that's my favorite. Like, we do the blue team and like I get like nerds, like video game nerds. Like, we all go together and we have no problem like calling people out. Like, you're out, children. Like, get out. Because as soon as you step in that line, like, you're just, it's every man for himself.
That'd
like
be
you're
fun.
Done.
Oh, laser
you should
tag
do
so
that.
Fun.
What's your the boyfriend like with your son?
He's only met him once. I keep it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's still new. I've only been with him 2 months.
Oh.
So
okay.
And with a comedian, we lived together and we were together for 3 years, and so that was very hard. The breakup was very hard.
Yeah.
And it's just I didn't want that again for my son to go through with that. So the more that we grow, if we do, then it'll become more consistent. But as of right now, I need that kind of that distance.
That makes sense.
What are the problems that you're having? I mean, he's 22, but what specifically is the problem?
I mean, anybody that knows me, you can ask. Like, I work from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, and I have about 10 different businesses that I'm doing right now. With him, it's kind of like, I'm going to go train at the gym for 2 hours today and I'm going to have one client and then he's just done for the whole day. It's like,
he has too much time.
Yeah, but not even that, but he's making no money. So it's like I'm paying for pretty much everything.
Ooh. No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, no. Yeah.
And all my friends like want to shake me like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, so, I get it because look at him and it's probably really good sex and he's really hot.
No, I know. But at the same time, it's like as I get older, the hotness, like I don't even want to have sex. Like when you when you're turned off by no ambition.
That's true.
It's like it made me.
I hate that. Yeah.
The comedian that I dated, like it was, I give you guys full credit. Like you guys or so much credit because I saw him like doing open mics and I would go with him and I just want to shoot my fucking brains out.
Right,
but it's
course,
like every day he was hustling.
It's a grind,
yeah. And that kind of like is sexy to me. Even if you don't go anywhere, it's like you want that so bad and you're passionate about something. But for a guy that just kind of casually has it easy in life, that's kind of like, that's not sexy to me. That's just like, I can get by because I'm good looking and you know, my girlfriend will pay for it. And like, you know, it's just like.
Girls like that passion. Yeah, they do.
Really do.
Ambition is the hottest thing. Like I met a really hot guy and I was totally down to go out with him. And then he blew it before we even went out because like 2 days in a row, he texts me at like noon. He's like, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh, I already been to 2 meetings and an audition. What are you up to? And he'd be like watching cartoons.
Yeah.
And he's a grown up, like a grown man in bed watching. Yeah. So I'm just like, nah.
I know.
Maybe he worked for Cartoon Network. That was his job.
I'm researching.
Yeah, you don't understand. You're right,
Dustin. Sure. I should have given him a chance. Damn it.
But in all honesty, like at the end of the day, he is a great guy. Everybody loves him. They just don't love us together. So it's like you can have somebody that you just don't click, but you're forcing it. So I told him, I was like, whatever girl you end up marrying, like you guys, she's lucky because you are a good guy. But for me, it's like I wake up and I have my whole day set. Like, and I have an assistant and it's like, I don't want any time wasted.
Right.
So with him and he's just rolling up out of bed at like 11, 12 and he's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. It's like, well, maybe go get a normal job. Like it's maybe, you know, do that. So that's the only, everything else is great though.
I know. I watch, like one of the reasons me and my girlfriend have been together for so long, we work so well together is because she's always working on like 5 different things. She's like producing a great movie and she's working on all the acting and doing all sorts of different stuff at the same time. And then watches me do the exact same thing where I'm like up early, you know, pushing myself till 3 o'clock in the morning on like a bunch of different projects and then running out and doing stand up and doing all sorts of crazy shit. And then every once in a while we'll go on vacation or we'll go on an actual vacation or go do something that has nothing to do with this business. And it's wonderful because then we're both taking a break from everything,
right.
But you have to have something to take a break from.
You have to motivate each other.
Absolutely,
and that's something like I feel lazier when I'm there because he does kind of like do the babe, I haven't seen you all day. And so I will put off stuff sometimes and be like, let's go to dinner. Let's do that. And I'm like, I want to kick myself in the ass the next day because I'm like, shit, that was a big opportunity, but I haven't seen him. So if somebody's not there understanding your grind or understanding what you're trying to accomplish, it's just not going to work because it's this constant like up and down.
Yeah. And then you're just staring at this person going, so what did you do? What'd you do today? And they're like, oh, fucking, did you see about on the TV? There was a new episode of
why that voice? Show. What's that voice?
That's usually the
his voice, but okay.
That's my guy that works out a lot of voice. Hi, did you see that one show with the guy?
Christ, Brooklyn.
His name is Gerald Seinfeld or something, and he's like, what? What's the deal with whatever? It's so funny. That's just my impression.
Okay.
That's not a good impression.
Your girl like hella supportive. Like you said she gets a little irritated. You said oh God! You said your girl gets a little irritated when you go on the road and stuff, but I mean, like, what about when you're in town and you're like super busy with work? Is she pretty cool?
Yeah, she's cool. I mean, yeah, she's super cool. With that
you ever bring her to set and bang her in your trailer?
No, I haven't. I feel so bad.
You got to.
No, never. I haven't got a series regular yet. I had one.
You're recurring.
But, like, I don't have a trailer yet.
Yeah, back when I had the series regular, you get like, you know, you can bring people to set. I don't want to be some guest star coming in. Hey, babe, what's up? Because they know what you're doing. Oh, someone's trying to impress someone.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
It's so funny. I was dating a girl when I worked at Paramount, and when we were doing the kid show, we were at Paramount, and we had dressing rooms, not trailers. And I had a lock on my door, and the lock wasn't working, and I didn't know. And I had a girl in my dressing room that I was hooking up with, and we were right in the middle of some nastiness. And the fucking guy, the PA, came and was like, "All right, right, Steven, it's time. And opened the door and saw me getting head in the dresser. Oh, and I was like, no! And he like was like, oh my God.
Don't act like you were bummed that he saw you. No guy is bummed when they get busted getting a BJ.
But
he actually winked at him. He goes,
he's like, by the way, can you tell the whole crew that just happened?
Did you get a photo?
Just Snapchat it. Snapchat that.
He made it so uncomfortable for the rest of the year. For the rest of the year, he'd be like, oh, you have to knock and then wait to open the door for Steven. Like, he would just say it and make it really weird. And
you're like, hell yeah, that's right.
Like, that's right.
He flexed every single time.
Yeah.
This has been really fun. I love you guys. You guys
this is
are
so cool.
Amazing.
It's been a blast. Yeah. I feel bad. I think I drank out of both these waters, so I don't know.
How dare you?
They're both yours.
You drank two waters.
You can have whatever you want.
Take that shit to go.
All right, well, let's, guys, we got to wrap up, but I love that you guys both came. You guys are both so cool, and I wish you both nothing but date successes in your future.
Thank you.
Me too. You guys are amazing. What do you got going on? Dustin, pimp yourself.
Pimp myself.
Pimp yourself.
Watch the remaining episodes of The Player on NBC.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That I'm that look catch Donovan as my character's name. Hacking into some computers and shit.
Where can people find you to see you? What's your Twitter? Dustin Ybarra?
Dustin_Ybarra.
Got you.
Yeah.
I had a great time. Thank you guys for having me. And Anything Goes with Jessa Hinton on Podcast One. And Snapchat is Jessa Hinton One because somebody stole Jessa Hinton.
Fuck.
Motherfuckers.
You're awesome. Faster.
Thank you.
We'll be following you. We love you. You can always get me at Steven Glickman on Twitter. And if you're in the city of Los Angeles or anywhere nearby, the Lyric Theater on La Brea, December 9th for the nighttime show.
Yeah. And you can follow me at KQ Funny, and I will be at the Reno Laugh Factory December 1st through the 6th. So come see me there. And I love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.